Boom! What's up, peeps? Happy Tuesday. It is 9:27 on a Tuesday morning with the white Asian camera ninja.
What's happening? What's happening?
As you can see, he's not just a camera ninja now. I posted a nice video of him dancing yesterday, and he's been embarrassed about it, so I thought I'd bring it up straight away.
If you planned this one.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah, man. Gotta throw some love. Wow. It's been a week already. I can't believe it. Time flies. Mm. And this week, again, another manic week. As you can see, I look like absolute dog shit. I'm tired as a mother trucker.
You look lovely.
Thank you, mate. Really appreciate it. Sorry. You're a good liar. but yeah, wow, this week it's been intense. So yesterday I taught at Performers. Again, I can officially announce that I now teach regularly at Performers in Birmingham, which is really, really lovely. I'm very flattered. I'm an associate lecturer.
Associate? What does that mean?
I have no idea, but it sounds so cool.
It sounds nice.
How much cooler does it sound than dance teacher? What are you? Commercial dance teacher. What are you? Associate lecturer. This makes me sound like such a grown-up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so yesterday I taught 7.5 hours, and it was wonderful. I left the house at 5 a.m., drove to Birmingham.
How long did it take you to get to Birmingham?
No, I left the house at 5:25 a.m. It only takes 2 hours, but I leave super early to beat the traffic. Because, you know, like,
yeah,
if you leave that tiny bit later, you hit that traffic, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
So I got there super early, taught, drove back, wonderful day. But I was cramping all damn day. I was so tired. I got through my first three lessons, had lunch, and then the rest of the day I kept getting cramps in my legs, and they just would not go.
This is a reoccurring theme for you at the moment, it feels.
Yeah, so, but I can tell
you. Getting old, or?
Yeah, definitely getting old, but I can tell you why. So, on the weekend, it was my nan's 70th birthday, and we surprised her for the weekend. Like, there was like 30 of us that rented a house in the back arse end of Wales.
Right.
And surprised her, she had no idea it was happening. So we fucking partied hard. And Saturday night, I got so white girl wasted that, I mean, I almost drank a whole bottle of gin, and I had like a bunch of cider as well. Great time. So much fun with the family. Like, literally didn't stop laughing. Like, it was just epic. So nice to have everyone there. But Sunday, I had the worst hangover of all time. Like, every time I stood up, I felt like I was going to fall over again. Like, my head was booming. And I was like, yo, I haven't had a hangover like this in forever. Probably since I was on tour with Dream Boys. So what's that? Almost 2 years.
2 years.
Like, that's how long I haven't had that kind of, like, pounding headache. It was rough. So I feel like the cramps kind of contributed or came from that.
Mm.
You know, like, my body was still,
proper,
like,
dehydrated.
Even though my headache had gone, my body was probably at, like, I bet if I had like one of those wrist strap things or whatever it is, that it'd be like my body's only at like 65% still.
Oh, gotcha.
And I'm trying to get it to like work at 100. So, yeah.
And how many hours did you teach for
Performers? 7.5.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of classes.
Yeah, it's 6 classes, hour and 15 each. I think that's 7.5 hours, right?
So, maths is hard.
Yeah, maths is hard, but I think I'm right. Well, happy. Who would have knew? I haven't even got a GCSE. You know, I failed my maths twice.
Did you?
Yeah.
I failed it once.
I failed my first.
That's
failed,
why we're here.
You know, you do like it in modules. So you do it like, you do like 3 different tests or something like that, and they all contribute to your final score. Well, I had such bad score on the first two. They were like,
you just stay above the first.
Yeah, so they failed it, and then they were like, we're going to set you up with a different exam board, and then I failed that as well. So I'm really proud of that maths. Let's hope it was right. And so yeah, that was my weekend. Partied hard with the fam. Super fun. Like, and where we were, we had no signal. So I just didn't even bother touching my phone because I had no signal. So I was just like, what's the point? And then I just let it die because I was like, I'm not using it. And dude, it was so good to disconnect.
Mm.
So good. I think I kind of told you yesterday, like, it was just amazing just not to have my phone, to have no notifications, no nothing. And speaking of notifications, you said you had 500 notifications this week on your phone.
A day.
A day.
A day. I've turned it all off.
You need to turn off your notifications.
Yeah, I felt so addicted to my phone the last couple of weeks since, like, we've been doing this as well. I've been on it more. And I started to feel such an unhealthy pull towards my phone. Every spare second, I was like, I got to check my phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, fuck this.
I have that, but I turned notifications off probably a year ago. Best thing ever.
I definitely, like, even I did it like 2-3 days ago, and straight away I'm starting to feel like less of a pull.
And I've
my
also
phone.
Turned off the ability to see people's, like, likes.
Gotcha.
So I don't see how many likes people get on their videos. Yeah. And I know it's like, you don't think it's a big deal, but after like a week of having it turned off, I was like a little bit liberated. Like I wasn't looking at everyone else's videos and then mine and seeing a difference. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, like how social media just have us by the balls.
Oh.
Because like for us to like market our companies, you have to be on social media, you know? And like, the algorithm, I don't know if this is true, but the algorithm kind of like makes you continually post or else you start to fall off. So they know they have you.
Yeah, of course.
It's quite a constraining feeling. I don't know, that's
it
a word.
Is, but I love it.
It's a love-hate, right?
I hate it, but I love it. Do you know what that's off?
Some shitty horror film.
No. Off of Abripper X, the Beachbody thing. The old guy, he'd be doing abs and be like, time for Crunchy Frog! And he goes, I hate it. But I love it.
Right.
And that in the middle of the ab exercise. And me and John Graham used to, when John lived with me a long time ago, we used to do Abripper X every day.
Did you?
Yeah. And we used to sit, like, say it along with the guy who'd get it up on YouTube. It was so funny. And then even like we'd go to rehearsals and we'd do it and we know the timing of when he says stuff. And we'd be doing it and we'd be like, it's time for Crunchy Frog. Oh, it was so funny. Anywho.
Anywho.
Off subject. So yeah, that was the weekend. Yeah, the weekend
must be nice
was
to disconnect.
Dope. So nice.
Because you're quite a phone heavy person, aren't you? What
just,
I mean by that is
just a work heavy person.
Yeah.
And even if it's like not actual like work, like I'm not teaching or something, I'm thinking of work.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So
writing notes down, messaging people.
I had to disconnect because I couldn't do anything. So it was amazing. Mm. Very, very liberating. I would like to try and, I mean, I'm going to throw it out there, but it's never going to happen. Like, imagine you could I'd love to be able to do like even one day a month. Where I just
no phone.
Don't use my phone.
Yeah.
It won't happen, but I would love to.
Well, with this whole, have you heard about the whole metaverse thing from Facebook?
The metaverse.
Metaverse. I'm fucking scared of that shit, dude.
Yeah.
Totally not dance related at all, but whatever.
I just don't look into it.
Mate, I don't know. We're so close to it. I think we're so close to like living most of our lives in the digital world.
Yeah.
It would just scare the shit out of me.
Yeah. But I feel like also it's a choice, right? Like,
I think it's going to get, I don't know. Deep, that's a conversation for off air, probably.
Because we're going to turn into North Korea.
Probably.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like it.
Me too. But yeah. Don't worry, I've got a really good kick and I'm fast.
Well, we need to make a lot of money.
I'll save
go
us.
Go buy an island.
I'll
and
save
we can
me.
Just podcast from out there.
I just got told you, bro, I'm just going to get a Tesla, live in it, work in it,
work
drive,
it.
Get delivery delivered to my Tesla. Like, be fine. anywho.
Who needs George with the dog?
Yeah.
I got a Tesla.
Yeah, good Tesla. I'll get them one to be in the car next to me. So yeah, and then last week I had the most amazing experience. Like, I choreographed my first, I think it's a national commercial.
National?
I'm assuming it is.
Well, like, yeah, judging by the
yeah, I
the
can't
name.
Say the brand and what it was for because of an NDA, but it was bonkers. It was huge. So we rehearsed on the Wednesday and we filmed Thursday, Friday for a 30-second advert.
That's such a lot of time, isn't
That's
it?
A lot of time. And it was so dope. It wasn't super dance heavy. It wasn't like I had to do loads of choreography, but I had to organize like 100 extras.
Muggles.
And make sure they're in the right. And they're not dancers at all. Like in all different ages, from kids to like grandparents. I had to organize them and make sure they're all in the right place at the right time. And they were doing like a social dance from like a specific country.
Right.
So I had to kind of study that and learn it, which was quite straightforward, to be honest. That wasn't the hard bit. And get them all to be in the right place at the right time. And then we had a celebrity on set, a really, really, really famous actress.
Oh, really?
And I had to
Are we talking like big?
Yeah. Like,
right.
like,
were you nervous, big, or were...
If I'm being 100% honest, I didn't have a clue who it was. I just looked at her and I was like, she's really familiar. And then everyone kept talking about her on set, and I was like, let's see who she is. And then when I Googled it, I was like, oh, I know who she is. She's
that
a big,
one.
Yeah, she's a big deal.
Right.
Disney. Yeah, so big.
Gotcha.
Like, so yeah, that was cool. Worked with her. And yeah, man. And there was a, I don't know if I can say all this, but one of the mains was a 6-year-old.
Right.
And dude, what a trooper.
Was like, she good, was she?
Yeah, her name was
Six,
Maddie.
That's young,
her
isn't
name
it?
Was Madison, and she was incredible. Like, so the stuff we had to do with her was so intense for her. Like, it hurt her a little bit, I imagine, because, like, there was lots of, can't say what she was doing, but it was like, it was a lot for a 6-year-old. And dude, she didn't complain once. She would just go to me every now and then, like, how many more are we doing? I'm beginning to hurt. And I'd be right. like, okay, like, let me see if they've got the shot and we'll try
gotcha,
again.
Gotcha.
And it was just nuts, man. Like, I've worked with, I mean, I bitch and moan way more than she did. She's six. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. But just the whole experience. But on Wednesday, when I got there to rehearsals, I was really nervous. Like, I was cacking myself.
Were you nervous because?
I just felt out of my depth.
Out of your depth, gotcha.
Yeah, imposter syndrome. But
you weren't given a huge amount of details to work off?
No, I wasn't given much details to work off. But
was that why you felt nervous?
Or was it like, yeah, that's why I felt nervous.
Or was it because it was like a first-time thing?
No, more because of the details thing.
Gotcha.
I feel like if they'd said, we want a choreography to this song and it needs to be 4/8 and make it look like this, I could be like, I can nail that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But because it was what just like, asking. This is what we kind of want to recreate and nothing else, I was like,
okay.
Oh, cool. And then they tell me how many people are involved and I'm like, okay, cool. Why are we shooting for 2 days for this tiny thing? You know, mm-hmm. Just felt like a bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And then on the Thursday, once we started, I mean, I did nothing for probably like 2-3 hours and then it was nonstop.
Mm.
But as soon as I started, like I was in.
You're
like
in
I have that, I'm like the ultimate blagger. Like I have this thing where like, I just go, right, I'm in it, let's just make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, it was amazing. I worked with an amazing director and associate director. They really seemed to like me. They were like very positive and like, thank you so much for like all your work and stuff. There was a sports choreographer, which I don't know what a sports choreographer normally does. I guess they conduct things which might be deemed as like stunts or sporty or stuff, but he had the easiest gig in the world,
right?
Because essentially they did like a rehearsal the week before with the little girl on like some trick thing she had to do, and then they just came and kind of,
do you reckon it was like an insurance thing, like they had to be there to cover like on set insurance or something?
No idea, but I just know that
they did nothing.
It was just a very easy job. But his name is Chris Snood. Snood, his son is a dancer as well, which is right. crazy. His name is Chris Snood, and he was an Olympian.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's been to the Olympics 3 times. So that was quite cool talking to him about like Olympic stuff. Like he did like 70s to 80s. So that was pretty dope. He was a diver, like Tom Daley. So yeah, man, that was cool talking to him, kind of learning a little bit about that. And he was teaching me about how like people get on the stunt register and stuff. And I know a little bit about stuff like that, but it was really interesting to hear like his perception, because his job is to pass people like on their diving and stuff like that for stunt registers.
Oh, okay. Wicked.
And he was talking to me about all these different jobs and like, I guess the kind of work he gets as a diving coordinator and a stunt coordinator kind of thing. So that was cool. But yeah, man, this 6-year-old was amazing. The day all in all, just the budget and stuff that going into that job is mental. Like I sent you a photo of one of the cameras that the guys had, one of the guys had on, and it was like 90 grand, bro.
On
his body.
Can we bring it?
No, we can't bring the photo. 90 grand.
You're not really even taking photos, are you?
No. 90, not meant to take photos. 90 grand. I said to the guy who is like, not the director, but the guy who is in charge of all the cameras, I don't know what his job would be. Imposter syndrome, see?
Yeah.
And I went to him.
That dude.
I went to him, a GoPro doesn't cut it. And he just looked at me like that was he was just not impressed at all. And I thought that was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all, apparently. But it was so cool. So he had an app on his phone, and he'd get his phone and he'd be like, yo, before they change lens and stuff like that and figure out, he would have an app on his phone and he'd swipe across and it would shoot like in by like, I don't know what the lenses are.
Yeah.
We have an app which shows all the different lens sizes.
That's so
and he would
cool.
look at it through his phone before he changed the camera lens so he didn't waste time.
Yeah.
Just shit like that. And I was like, yo, this is sick.
Proper efficiency.
Yeah, and I'm so used to just doing TV, like or live stage where it's just like there's a bunch of cameras and
you just
like that's the set. Yeah. They set it all up, we go on stage, do it and bounce. Whereas seeing it constantly change and having the stuff like that, it was so good. So I was literally just like, I imagine I really got on their fucking nerves, to be honest, because I was
just asking all the annoying questions.
I wasn't asking many questions, but I was literally like a fly on shit.
Right.
Like I didn't leave their side. I was just trying to absorb and learn as much as I can.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I was so worried that they'd be like, they'd ask me to do something or they'd use a specific reference and I'd be like, you who? What?
Like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
You know? So yeah, it was fucking dope. I loved it. But shout out to Lizzie Goff for putting me up for it. Super grateful. I love you, Lizzie. You're the best. And what are you touching my lights for? You're going to make me look browner.
I'm just going to dim it down a little
Am I super bright? Yeah. Whoa, that's tripping me out looking at the lights. Anywho, yeah, so such an amazing experience. Very grateful for it. And you know what? The celeb, the actress, like, such a pro, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I've worked with people who are really dope at their job, but she was insane. They did one take for over an hour and 50 minutes. No, hour and a half. Over hour and a half, they did one take. And it's literally, like, a line.
Right.
Like, imagine she just went... Blah.
So how come it took so long?
Because it was had to be so specific because it was about the product.
Right.
So she was holding the product while saying the line. And it had to be super specific. And they kept being like, try like this, try like this. And she would just be like, switch it. And she'd have to like giggle before it and then go into being really serious.
Right.
And like, I've never seen someone just be like, okay, cool. And again, and again. And she'd run over, she'd look at the camera, and she'd be like, oh, this doesn't look right. And she'd just do it again. And I was like, a little bit in awe of it. I was like, yo, like, that is fucking sick.
Mm.
Like, there's, she's, you can see, obviously, she's a huge actress. So an hour and a half probably on one take for her is...
Kind of normal.
Yeah. You know, if you've been leads in films. But, like, it was dope. Just watching her work, someone at that level, I was like, this is super inspiring. Like, this is why you're you.
Yeah.
This isn't a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't by accident. Like, you've bust your ass to get here and you know what the fuck is going on. So that was super dope. So yeah, that was the job, man. It was amazing. I might become a sports choreographer. I imagine they get paid a shitload. And that day, look, that week looked like an easy week for them. Maybe a regular one is hard, but that one was a win. Yeah. So that's kind of the, that was kind of the job. It's kind of the week.
That's good, man. Hopefully it leads to more work, hey?
I hope so.
As you said, you got on with the director and the AD.
Yeah, but so. I'm not going to lie. I've eaten like shit all week.
What, because you're just in London and hotel living?
In London, I've been traveling loads. Like, and I've just not been at home to cook food. And, like, getting nice food takes time.
Yeah.
And I just was, everything's been so on the go. And I feel it. That's why I look like dog shit today.
You look lovely.
My face probably looks swollen from all the sodium in the food I've eaten and, like, alcohol I've consumed. I'm still shredded, but...
Still jacked, though.
I'm still jacked, though. But yeah, man, it's a great week. How was your week?
Good. It was, I think, my quietest week in a long time. So I took advantage of that.
That's because we had no program.
No program. Yeah, I didn't have any like shoots or anything. Like client-wise, it was much quieter, which is really nice. I really took advantage of it. Saturday, I went and saw the new James Bond.
Oh, you likey likey? I haven't seen it yet, but I know what happens. But let's not spoil it.
Let's not spoil it. Cinematography, beautiful. Story, unless I don't think I watched the last one, so maybe I'm missing some plot holes, but I just didn't get it. I got it, but it was like, it kind of felt like a filler episode, but it was like a filler film. It's like, right, Daniel Craig's getting a little bit old now, tack him off, bring the next one sort of thing. It just kind of felt like an exit film, and it didn't really feel, to me, it didn't feel very thought out.
Okay.
I'll still go and watch it though. It felt very James Bondy.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch
all it. All action, all girls.
Daniel Craig looks like my dad.
Does he?
Yeah. But like, my dad looks like a you know, Daniel Craig's fucking Hollywood star. My dad's a painter and decorator. So obviously they don't look exactly the same. But like when my dad was younger, I always be like, oh, like, looks like my dad.
Mm.
And my little brother, we have a different dad. And when he was a kid, my dad was, my stepdad and my little brother were in the car. My brother must have been about 10. And my dad was running down the road. And my little brother went, Mum, look, there's James Bond. And my stepdad was like, great.
Brilliant.
Can you imagine? You'd be like, fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Love but it. No, my dad looks like James Bond. Nothing else this week, just chilling.
Just chilling. I think that's just a lot of people around me have had a lot of success this week, which has been really nice. I've just been catching up with mates and talking about their successes this week. So yeah, it was nice.
Well, you're a kind, giving person.
I like watching my people succeed.
You do.
You do.
So yeah, that's the week in a nutshell.
That's
pretty
the week.
Fucking spectacular.
Mm.
Today's topic of discussion is audition tips.
Audition tips.
We're going to talk about some audition tips.
I know nothing about this, so I'm going to ask all the stupid questions.
I know a lot about audition tips, however...
Carry on talking, I'm just going to move the light again, okay, sorry.
Mate. Not very organised today,
no,
you?
No, not very organised.
However, I know a lot about audition tip for guys, but I guess most of the things that will, like, things I'll bring up will carry over. However, I believe girls' auditions probably don't have the same energy as boys' auditions from what I've been told and kind of what I've seen. Wow, you just walked right in front of my camera.
I know, right? Sorry, mate.
How did that disrespect? Figure it out. Yeah, get that light in.
You carry on talking.
No, it's okay. I'm just intrigued to see what you're doing. Yeah, so I imagine... Go! So I imagine the environments of girls' and guys' auditions are different from what I've heard. But we'll cover some audition tips. So things...
Go on, rewind quickly. In what way do you... In what way do you know them to be different?
Normally girls' ones are way busier.
Okay. Yeah. Just because there's less guys in the industry, or is there less guys in the industry?
Oh, yeah, way more. And I believe that, and I might be wrong, so girls, if I'm wrong, I apologize. But from what I've been told by specific females, that girls' auditions cannot get quite, like, catty, but, like, people are out for themselves to win, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it's an obvious thing, because you're trying to book the job. You're trying to make sure you can pay your rent.
Yep.
But with guys' ones, all the ones I've ever been to, they're very, like, fun, boisterous, loud, supportive.
Oh, really?
Banter.
Right.
Like, especially if I'm in the room, because I'm an idiot.
Because you're an idiot.
Yeah, and, like, to me, that's my favorite thing about audition is having fun. And normally it's, like, the only time where you get loads of your friends in the room and you're like, hey, this is sick. Like... You know what I mean?
Are you always auditioning with people like you know well? Again, is that just
anymore.
Yeah,
but
like
back in the day. Back a couple of years. And even when I was in LA, like even if I didn't know loads of people, I met loads of people at the auditions because we're all going through the same thing.
Yeah.
We're all like, we're all nervous, but we're all trying to make the best of a situation and we're all trying to chase the job.
Yeah.
You know, I met a lot of good friends at auditions and like have good memories from auditions and bad ones, but like a lot of fun ones. Like even if you didn't get the job, I would always be like, what was the win in that? Mm-hmm. You know, like there's good parts of that day. But some tips. Let's start with the very beginning. So I feel like the one thing which I've been quite a successful auditioner in my time.
I was literally going to ask, what do you reckon your success rate is?
I mean, the jobs I don't get, they're not normally because I don't believe. They weren't because I wasn't good enough. It's because I was probably not the right look.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, like...
But did you make it to like final round quite like often?
I don't think I've ever been cut at the first.
Really?
Not that I... Oh, it won. Won. Yeah, my first ever audition, I got cut in the first
round.
Did
you? Yeah. Can we ask what that was for? I don't even know
if it was my first one. Might have been my second one. But it's for Janet Jackson.
Ooh.
And I shouldn't have been
there. That was your first audition?
Second.
Janet Jackson?
It was my second, but I shouldn't have been there.
Right.
Like, I was so out of my depth. Glenn Borg hooked me up with Dancers Inc. to go in, and I walked in, and it was like Cisco, John Graham, like... Dean Lee, like all these amazing dancers, like who, you know, I idolized, and I'd literally just left college.
Right.
I don't even think I'd left college. I might have still been in college. And I went into the private call. So everyone's like 200 people queuing outside, and I got called into the private call.
Right. Is that just because you had connections?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I had no place being there. Like I went in and they taught the first eight, and I was literally like, I have no fucking idea what's going on. And that was the first time I'd ever met John Graham. And he doesn't remember this, but I was at the back struggling like hell. And I remember it like it was yesterday, which is crazy to think like how close we are now. And he's being my mentor, like the big bro. And
he had no idea you even existed. Yeah, no idea.
And I was like, I couldn't do it. And I asked him for help and he started teaching me the combo.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and going over it with me. He doesn't remember it, but I was like, yo, that's crazy, right? Now to think
of
our relationship now. So yeah, that was cool. But yeah, that was an audition I should never have been at. So yeah, my success rate of auditions has been pretty high. If you think of success as getting to the end or near the end.
Yeah, like, I guess that's the main question.
I always think if you can get to the end and you don't get a job, you're good enough to do the job.
Yeah.
Because you got to the end. Normally then it comes down to is there an opposite height, look? There's something involved with it, right? But the one thing which I always have kind of prided myself on, and I'm not like this in any other area of my life, is I've always prepared for an audition.
Gotcha.
I don't prepare for anything in life. You know me, I wing every day. Like I go in, I just got to figure it out. But auditions, I research the hell out of what I'm auditioning for.
Mm-hmm.
So like...
Just like watching videos of like the artist or whatever.
Start off with, if you know what the audition is for, look it up. Like figure something out. If it's for a certain artist, go and listen to their music. Go and look at their vibe. Go and figure out what they normally have. What's the normal look? Like find out who the choreographer is.
Mm-hmm.
What does the choreographer like? What dancers do they normally work with? Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
If not, how do you relate to that? So like,
by relate, do you mean like how you move as a dancer?
Yeah, how you right. move as a dancer, how I present myself. You
like
know?
What kind of outfit? Yeah, like
so. Let's say like Brian Freeman, he yeah. loves fashion. Cisco Gomez loves fashion. So if I go in just some trackies and a top,
you're not gonna get it. Right, you're not less, like you're not amazing, get
yeah, 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 but you're already putting yourself at a disadvantage because they love fashion, right? So you want to go in something that's kind of like fashion forwards and that's going to capture their attention.
Because
mm-hmm. remember, it's all about grabbing attention.
Yeah.
It's not just about being a good dancer. That's one part of it, but you've got to get their attention.
You've got to get the focus.
So if you can get them to look at you because they like your outfit, then they're already looking at you. Then you just got to be a good dancer, right?
Yeah.
You just got to show up. So like my example would be like, so I auditioned for Jason Derulo. And I really, really, really wanted the job. And I was like, cool, let's do some research. And I went on YouTube and I searched his latest song. It was From the Window. Nope. Check that out. What they playing. That's my song. That's my song. Don't Want to Go Home.
Right.
Doom, 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 doom. You know, no.
Your singing's
but,
lovely.
Thank you.
But no, I'm not catching it.
So I was like, cool, he's just come out. Like, let's see when his last performance was. Oh, it was a week ago. So the night before the audition, I was watching a performance from a week ago of mm-hmm. that song. So on live TV.
Yep.
And this job is for an award show for that song.
So
I'm assuming.
It's likely.
I'm assuming it's that. It's likely it's going to be the same shit.
Yeah.
Like it might be different staging, but the choreo is going to probably be the same.
Yep.
Pretty much. Right. Or you can get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it and I was like, cool. Looked at the dancers and I was looking at all the dancers. I was like, cool. I can see Cody Wiggins, Lee Daniels, can't remember who else was on there, and Ivan Kumoyev. And I was like, there's one white guy.
I'm gonna be
the white guy.
Yeah.
So I looked at what Ivan Kumoyev was wearing, and he had a baseball Leatherman's kind of jacket on.
Yep.
And a snapback, a pair of black jeans and some high tops.
Kind of sounds like your style as is.
So, yeah, right? So I was like, cool, that's gonna be me. So I watched his track. I didn't learn the choreography, mm-hmm. but like I learned the rhythm patterns of the choreography.
Gotcha.
And just by watching it, you kind of get a grasp of like what stuff is.
Yeah, right? Where things are gonna be.
So then I was like, cool. Instead of just turning up to the audition in clothes to do it, I wore the same clothes that Ivan Kumoyev wore on stage to my audition.
Well, like literally, exactly.
Literally, I wore a baseball Leatherman's jacket,
right.
A pair of black jeans, a snapback, and some high tops.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not just showing you that I can do the job. I'm showing you I'm already in the job.
In the job, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can already see what I look like in the costume. You can already see that I fit the description in the brief. Now I just have to dance at a level and
that's
perform at a level
yeah.
that you like, which is a me thing. I have to figure that out.
Yeah.
But I've given you all the other things that you don't, that you would go, oh, is it going to look right?
Mm-hmm.
I've ticked those boxes for you. Do you know what I mean? Now I just have to pull up. And even on the parts where like where they freestyle, I looked at the kind of freestyle that the dancers were doing to
mm-hmm.
see what they were looking for. You know what I mean? So when I went into the audition, I felt so ready because I was like, I know the rhythm patterns of the song.
Yep.
Like, I know I got the outfit down. And now it's just about, can I pull it off?
Can you pull it off?
And
was it the same song?
Yeah.
And the same
rhythm
pattern?
Song, same
rhythm
pattern, same chorus. The only thing is I was so used to watching it on the screen. I started to kind of like learn it in my head. So then when I was learning it in person, everything felt the wrong way.
Because it was mirrored.
Because it was mirrored.
Sure.
Yeah. But like, do you know what I mean? It was just to me, I was so prepared that I felt confident as
mm-hmm.
hell. Yeah, like another one is I did Footloose for Strictly Come Dancing to promote the film. And it was Draco Johnson was choreographing.
Rewind, I'm guessing you got the Jason Derulo job.
Yeah, I got the Jason Derulo job. And then the Footloose one, same thing. I was like, right, they're coming, we got an audition tomorrow for Footloose. Draco Johnson's choreographing, Don Draco. And Jamal Sims is the original choreographer, I believe. And then I was like, cool, so let's do some research. Let's see if they've done anything on this before.
Mm-hmm.
A week before it was on Dancing with the Stars. Cool, well, that's the American version of Strictly Come Dancing. We are going to be doing the exact same thing.
Right.
Like, it's inevitable, right?
Yeah.
It's the same stage. It's the same concept. Like, everything's going to be the same. So I watched it, and I was like, who can I be? Who am I going to be out of this cast?
Yeah.
Because they've already cast it, so which one am I? And there was one part where the dancer does all the choreo and then they break into a semicircle and some guy goes in and starts breaking. And I was like, that's going to be me. Because I know I'm not a B-boy or a breaker, but I know I
can do
enough
tricks.
To do like 15 seconds that people are going to go, wow.
Yeah.
I'm also going to be able to do the choreo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I was like, cool, that's my track. I'm going to be that guy. So when it came to the audition and learning the combo, And at the end, when they go freestyle, I went and I did the same entrance that guy did. So the guy does a round off back tuck and then starts breaking. So I went through, because I was in the second line, I went round off back tuck, and then, because I had space to, and then I started breaking. Because I knew that if I can show them that I can already do that, he hasn't got to re-choreograph anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, that's interesting.
So it was like, he can just go, oh, dope, you're going to be that guy. You did round off back tuck and then into this. I didn't end up doing a round off back tuck on the day. I did a kick moon, but that's fine. Like, I just had to make sure I got the job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just kind of made it work. And it was like the over-preparation kind of made me feel really confident within myself.
For the actual day. If you were to bottom line that last 5 minutes of chat in one sentence, what would that tip be? Because this is tip number one, I'm guessing, still.
Yeah. I'd just say, just be prepared. Do your research.
Yeah, like, I think do research.
Figure out the choreographers. Figure out who they like. Right. Figure out if they've done any past performances. So you know what you're getting yourself into. Because imagine going to like audition for a choreographer and you have no idea who they are or what it's going to be.
Yeah.
That must be so hard. And I've done ones like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you always feel a bit like, then maybe you're taken by surprise. Maybe you think it's going to be something and it's something else. But right. You don't really know what you're getting yourself in for.
Have you ever prepared for an audition and it's backfired? So you studied a choreographer, blah, 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 blah. And it's something totally not what you expected.
Not really. Like, nothing that I've prepared for in that much depth. Mm-hmm. Like, no, not that I can think of. Like, I know that's probably not the answer you wanted to hear.
No, not at all. But that's a good thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It goes to show the due diligence pays off.
Not that comes to mind, you know?
Gotcha.
What else did we say? So, prep. Another point would be early. On the day of your audition, give yourself an... I always give myself an hour.
Yeah, you literally sent this to me yesterday.
I said this to you yesterday. Well, I do it for every job.
Mm.
I do it if I'm teaching. I do it if I'm rehearsing. I give myself an hour. So if I start at 8:30, I'm going to plan to get there for 8, but then I'm going to give myself half hour problem time.
Yeah, problem time.
So essentially, I'm aiming to get there an hour before my call time or an hour before my start. Imagine going to an audition and not giving yourself time and your train is delayed or you hit traffic or something. So your energy entering the room, when the room is already full, you might feel flustered, you might feel stressed, you've been rushing through the tube. Are you going to be in your best mindset to perform, to showcase yourself? Probably not. You're probably going to be pretty flustered.
Yep.
You might be thrown off, you might be hot and sweaty, you're going to have some sort of stress and anxiety before even thinking about auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
You're just thinking about getting there and it's causing a problem. Auditioning is already a high stress scenario for most people. You don't want to be late. So avoid that at all costs. Make life easier for yourself. Yeah, you might have to get up earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I know that's not the easy bit. But you want to get the job? Like, remove that extra stress from yourself.
Yeah.
Also, if you rock up late, what does that look like if the people who are auditioning you are already started?
Mm.
Or if they're already there and you walk in 1 minute before you start? What message does that give to them?
Yeah,
they already could be like, oh, this is the late person.
Yeah.
They could already be like, oh, they're not going to make it on time.
If you're late for the audition, you're going to be late for the job.
Yeah, possibly. You don't know. Like, it could be one person's pet hate is, like, people being late. I hate people being late.
I hate it.
Yeah. Like, but, do you know what I mean? Like, so, just, there's, if that's not two good enough reasons, I don't know what is.
No.
Like, just be early. Like...
And that's the same with all things in life, to be honest. Like...
Like, my audition for Magic Mike, what was it, like, a month ago now? I was there, like, an hour and 45 minutes early. To a point where I was so early, I was fucking bored. But
then you can
better than
your
being
time.
Stressed, right?
Yeah.
I went and got a coffee because I knew I had time. I had a stretch.
Wait, you actually stretched?
Warmed up, touched my toes twice. Like, made sure my hips could body roll and grind. Like, made sure I could get my sexy on. But like, you know, better than being late.
Yeah.
Better to be early and have to kill time.
Yeah.
Than be trying to
make
up
time. Yeah,
for sure. So yeah, being early is definitely a huge one. I mean, we're not going to do these in order because I guess we could jump everywhere. But one that I've really found helpful is bringing spare clothes.
Okay.
Which people don't really like. I don't know. Girls probably bring outfits.
Right.
Like, for sure, girls do because they're way more organized than most guys. But like, I know dudes don't really bring outfits. Like, for me, I'll always bring not like a full outfit. but like a load of t-shirts to change in. Right. Because say you get really sweaty learning it and then you don't get to dance it for like an hour and you got to let that dry sweat yeah. Gross on you and you feel disgusting and you don't feel good about yourself.
Mm.
Well, you're trying to showcase yourself to the highest of your ability and the highest you want to be perceived, right? So if you feel gross and sticky, are you going to perform like you're 100% you? Like, are you going to look like you're 100% you if you've got like salty sweat marks on your top? Like, no, bring a spare t-shirt. It's very little effort for such huge rewards.
Gotcha.
Like, or say you get a call back. You don't want to go back in the same sweaty ass top. Like, granted, you might not want to go back as a different character in a complete different outfit, but if you're just wearing a t-shirt or a vest, find one that's similar and bring a spare.
Bang it on.
You know, like, or say you spill coffee on yourself in the morning because you're late and you're rushing. You shouldn't have had time to get coffee if you're late.
Yeah.
But all these different things, you're eliminating problems, right? Like I say to everyone, auditioning is like a game. It's like, it's not just like you go in to get a job. You've got to really be tactical about it.
Yep.
So all these things are just going to help you. So bring some spare clothes.
Squid Games, dance vibes.
Yeah, bring some spare clothes. Also, girls, I know you've probably got your shit together, but for the past 5 years, probably longer, I haven't done many auditions in 5 years. Guys, what are you wearing to auditions? Why are you dressed like you're at the fucking gym? Like, I go to auditions and I look around and I see like loads of college graduates in like joggers and a t-shirt. I'm like, you're trying to sell yourself.
Is like, that not just like where, quote, dance fashion is at the moment?
I don't know, but you want to show the person in front of you, you at your best. You don't want to show them you in a pair of Adidas tracksuit bottoms and a t-shirt.
That's literally me down to a T.
Yeah, but like not when you're auditioning to go on fucking VMAs.
Okay,
or so like if you're auditioning for someone to hire you, like it'd be like me saying to you, yo, come and view this car, you should buy it, and it being covered in shit.
Right. So like, I don't know if this is one of your tips, but what would you, if you were a guy auditioning now, what would you wear?
I always used to wear like similar things. I always wear a pair of jeans without fail.
So you do it in jeans?
Every audition I've wore jeans my whole life. I've never wore joggers. Never ever.
That's interesting.
Always wore jeans. Just buy stretchy jeans. Go Primark. They're £12 or some shit. Primark. They stretch. These. Literally these. Primark. I dance in these.
No, Primark. The way Primark.
Like a pair of stretchy jeans. Like, and then all you need is a tank top. Or you can wear a short sleeve shirt if you want to. Mm-hmm. You can just wear a t-shirt. But already jeans looks better than joggers. Because jeans you'd wear on a night out, joggers you fucking wouldn't. So why are you wearing something that you wouldn't even be seen in public? Or something that you wouldn't be seen where you're trying to look good, but you're trying to sell yourself to someone who's giving you money?
Again, I think like this is obviously such an outside perspective. Like tracksuits are really in. Like people go out in tracksuits now.
Yeah, but tell me when you've watched an award ceremony or a performance.
True,
and you've seen people on stage in...
I'm not defending it for the record. Again, this is a little observation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel like tracksuits are kind of like a fashionable thing now.
For sure they are. 100% for your chav.
Not saying yes or no.
No, but do you know, you get what I'm saying?
100%,
right?
Yeah.
Like present yourself, man.
No,
like,
I think...
Treat it like it's a date.
Yeah.
You're trying to win a girl over for the first time. Like if you go in tracksuit, we need to have a chat.
Sort your fucking life out.
Like unless you're going to the park for a walk or like on a hike or something like that. Like, you know, present yourself.
Yeah.
You want to show yourself to your highest of your standards.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're auditioning for a job where you do wear tracksuits, wear a tracksuit.
Wear tracksuits. yeah.
But if you know that you're just going to look, if you're probably going to wear a suit on stage, I wouldn't show up in a tracksuit. I wouldn't show up in a suit, but I'd find somewhere
in between.
In between.
Do you always wear a hat?
I always wear a hat because it's my comfort place.
Yeah.
But if they ask me to take it off, I'll take it off and I have hair product in my bag.
Right.
So I can do my hair if I need to. Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think I've ever seen you without a hat.
So. I always wear a hat to every audition because a lot of the time ginger goes against me.
Oh,
so
really?
I can hide the fact that I'm ginger.
Right. And then once they book, you're like, hey, I'm ginger, by the way.
Yeah, or I get to the end and they go, oh, we actually don't, it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially if it's for somewhere I need to be a hunky guy or like it's for a urban-y kind of artist, like ginger doesn't fit that mold. However, if I'm auditioning for an advert or if I'm auditioning for something like cheesy, never wear a hat.
Oh, okay.
No, because I want the ginger. Like, you're probably going to hire me. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You want a Benetton advert. You want everyone to be diverse.
You like, said hats are like a comfort zone. I can definitely relate to that because if I dance, I wear a hat. What is it about hats and comfort for guys? Because guys often wear hats, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I just know for me that I love wearing hats.
Do you reckon it is? Don't take this wrong way. Do you reckon it is because you're ginger? And like,
I never liked wearing hats ever. My whole childhood, I never wore hats.
Right.
Like, I always just have my hair. I got to like 17, 18 and started wearing them because Glenn Ball wore hats and I wanted to be like Glenn Ball. And then, I don't know, just wore them ever since. Like, I also think it's a lazy thing. I think I hate doing my hair.
Yep.
I hate if I do my hair and it gets messy and then I've got to walk around looking like a fool all day. Mm-hmm. Putting a hat on is just easier.
Easier.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm a hat guy. I think either are or you aren't, right?
Yeah.
I'm a hat guy. So yeah.
Right. So that one was bring
spare clothes, and don't dress like a fool. where to stand. Now this is a real good one that I see people doing wrong and that I've seen people do wrong. So it all depends on what kind of learner you are. So when I say where to stand, I mean, when you're in the room and you're learning the choreography.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're someone that picks up really fast, for sure, stay in their eye line.
Right.
Stay at the front or somewhere in their eye line. Or if you're someone that doesn't pick up really fast, you don't want to stand at the front. Gotcha. Right? Because you don't want to show them that you don't pick up fast.
Yeah.
Don't want to show them that you might take you five more run-throughs than the person next to you.
Mm-hmm.
So be out of sight. Be somewhere in the corner. So let's just say, for now, you're the person who can't pick up really fast and you're in the corner. You don't want to be hidden away, though. You still want them to know you're there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is, if you have a question, ask that question. But make sure it's not a dumb question. Make sure it's a smart question. Like, if you're...
Give me an example. I need to put you on the spot.
Don't ask a question about a detail if they've already given it to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you have a genuine question and you genuinely think that they haven't given you the information on it,
mm-hmm.
don't be afraid to ask a question, because then they're going to acknowledge you. They're going to notice you're in the room. You're going to build some sort of...
Some connection or whatever.
Connection, relationship. You've had a moment. You've had an interaction.
That's like what we said last week. Ask the question.
That already puts you maybe a step ahead of the 100 people in the room that haven't had a connection or an interaction. Yeah. But you're also showing that you care.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a dumb question. And don't ask 8,000 questions.
Gotcha.
Because you also don't want to be an asshole. You know what I mean?
Like, asshole.
Yeah. You don't want to keep asking questions for the sake of asking questions. Yeah. So you're that person. Then when you're comfortable and you feel like you know what's going on, then start putting yourself in the mix a bit more where you can be more visible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you realize that maybe, oh, I'm in the wrong spot, I don't know what the hell is going on, abort. Like, don't show them that you don't know what's going on. Like, go and figure it out and then show you at your best when you feel comfortable and you know what's going on.
Do you feel that choreographers and whoever, like, I don't know how to word, like the people that are spotting for you, do you think they're starting to build a profile of you in the learning phase?
100%. As soon as you walk in the room, which we'll get to.
Right.
They do as soon as you walk in the room.
But which is, I guess, what I'm saying, like, where you stand in the room. Like, if you are a quick learner, you've got quick pickup speed and you are standing at the front, like, how much does that amplify your choice, not your choices?
Well, you're always
opportunity of getting the job.
Depends. So I'm a quick learner. Mm-hmm. I pick up, on the scale of picking up out of people, I pick up not the fastest, but pretty fast.
Pretty fast.
But I'm a lazy learner. So I don't learn it and go full out. Right. I mark it and mark it and mark it and mark it. And I mark it constantly to make sure I understand what's going on because my learning process is different to someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So although I'm a fast learner, I don't stand at the front. Also because I struggle to stay engaged. Because if they're teaching quite slow and I pick up quite fast, I get distracted.
Right.
I lose concentration.
Okay, that's interesting.
Do you know what I mean? So I stand a few rows back or at the back.
Gotcha.
But I will do the thing where I'll make sure I get acknowledged. I'll ask a question. Normally, I'll try and make it a really clever question where I've noticed something. I've noticed a detail that they've not given.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Filling so say the they do something on a specific timing or they add a specific moment or a look or a head. I'll go, excuse me, is this meant to be like this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want us to do this? And hope that they pick up on that. I've clocked something that they
haven't.
That they know what they're doing, but maybe it's not something they've given. So then they go, oh, He's observant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Things like that. So I think it's different for every person. So I never stand in the front row.
Gotcha. And why
do you
feel that you're a lazy learner?
Because I don't go full out.
I don't think that's like, the right way to word it? Lazy learner?
I mark everything until I know it.
Is there like a strategy behind that?
It's just my way of learning. I don't see the point in going full out learning something because that means I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. I'm just using energy and making something full out, right?
Mm-hmm. Just because like in your classes before, you've said mark it until you know it because then you're guessing.
Yeah,
I guess which is why I'm trying to
Yeah. So I don't want to guess what's going on. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's going on. So until my brain knows what's happening, what's the point in making my body go full out?
Gotcha. So you mark until you're like, okay, I know what
I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Like some things you can't mark because you need to know what it's going to feel like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, especially if it's like a nip up or you've got to get to the floor and get back up. You can't mark that.
No.
Because you need to know what it's going to feel like.
Sure.
But you don't need to bang the full thing out every time. Also, if depending who you are in an audition scenario, if you're learning at the front and then you're banging it full out when you get halfway through, you're wasting valuable energy.
Gotcha.
Like, you don't know how many times you're going to dance this thing. Mm-hmm. You're wasting valuable energy. You know what I mean? So it just depends
like
what kind of learner you are,
I think,
as where you stand.
Sure.
I think stand by someone who is good.
Okay.
Because if you're rubbish... You might want to stand by, not rubbish, but if you're not, the like, if
the
maybe you're struggling, stand by someone who's good because you might be able to copy them. Like, in the learning phase. In the learning phase. Because you might be able to pick stuff off of them.
Yeah.
Like, I know if you're stood by me and I'm better than you and you ask me a question, I'll help you.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, things like that. You might learn something. You might pick up a detail.
I would have thought you'd done the
opposite. No.
That's an effort, but it's a right.
Which we'll get to. I'll help you. So... you know, stand by someone good because you might pick up things that they're doing that'll help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're not in the so much auditioning phase yet. You're still in the learning phase. So that's what I would say. Also, when you're in the room, a different point now. So kind of where you stand, that kind of covered that basis.
Yeah.
Right? So stand where you feel like you're going to be highlighted. Just to recap, if you're not very strong at picking up, don't show them that you're not really strong.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really strong and can stay... interactive and you can keep your energy up and stay engaged, stand at the front, showcase that.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick up fast and you disengage like I do, don't stand at the front because you don't want to show them that you disengage and you get distracted easily. Mm-hmm. Hide your ass at the back, but just let yourself be seen when it's your time to shine. Or if they go, let's do it in halves, dance it at the front
and then
make your way back to the back.
Gotcha.
That's what I always do. So if they go, right, split the room in half, let's just have a practice, go each, I'll go to the front, roast it, and then go back to my happy place at the back.
Gotcha.
So they've seen, oh, he's really good.
Do people compete for where they stand?
I think
like
maybe
in my head, you know, like UDO competitions,
everyone
sprints to the front. Like,
I think they do.
Right.
I think they do. I don't. I think they do. I'm quite confident in that when I get my time to shine,
you'll be able to.
I'll be able to shine.
Gotcha.
But I do think people will be like trying to fight for their specific space or whatever.
And do you think that works negatively against you? Like, to me, it shows that you want it, but it also shows that you're kind of out for yourself. That's just like.
I think it depends where you're at in your career, right?
Right.
Like, if you're desperately fighting for that job and you want to be noticed and you want to be recognized and you look around the room and maybe that you're an even player, then
as
yeah,
in, like,
you want to fight
field.
For your damn spot.
Right.
But like, most of the time I know that if I'm in a scenario where I feel comfortable and confident, I don't need to fight for that spot.
Mm-hmm.
I can quite rely on that you're going to notice me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But like, if you were like a choreographer holding the audition, would you look at someone who sprints to the front, not sprints, but like actively gets their ass to the front?
Yeah.
Would you think like,
well, it depends.
Would you think of like a negative thought process behind it?
It depends, right? If they're really good, then I'd be like, hell yeah.
Right.
If they rush to the front to show me that they're going wrong.
Gotcha.
I'd be like, why are you showcasing your weakness? Right? You're not ready yet. You're not ready to be at the front. Like, that's how I see it.
Gotcha. Cool.
And then, where to stand, I feel like we kind of covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Your energy in the room. So when you're stood on the side, are you a motivator? Are you an encouraging person?
Mm-hmm.
Are you rooting for other people? Are you cheering other people on? All these things people are going to pick up on. So I believe Like, if you're sat in the chair, like, as the casting team or the choreographer, and you're seeing someone, like, rooting for the people, you're going to go, they're nice.
They're a team player.
They're a team player.
Yeah.
You want team players on your team.
Yeah.
You don't want people who are out to fight for themselves. You want team players who are on their team. So think about what energy you're delivering whilst you're in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're someone who's maybe more advanced and you see someone struggling,
go help them out.
Go and help them out. Not only to help them out to be nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But again, team player.
Showing you're a team player, showing that you could be a team leader or a dance captain.
Yeah.
Like, so at some auditions, like, if my friends are there and they're struggling, like, I will always help you. Mm-hmm. Even if I clock you're struggling and you don't ask for help, I'll come over and go like, yo, bro, this is like this.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that I'm right and they're struggling, yeah? I'm not just the douche which goes around offering advice and help to people.
Yeah.
Except from here. But or if someone asks me for help, I'll always offer it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a good person and, you know.
But also comes in full circle. If you're having an audition where you're struggling.
And, well, it's happened to me. Like, loads of times. Like, people have helped me when I don't know what the hell's going on. If I can't see something, I'll go, yo, bro, what's that bit? I can't see their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll show me, right? Creates that camaraderie, a team player. Yeah, yeah. Things like that are going to get picked up on. So I always think, figure out your energy in the room, because I think that can play off for you a lot. Because if you're the person that's budging someone out the way so you can stand in the front line,
yeah,
or you're a bit of a douche, or you come across rude, they're going to pick up on that. They're not going to want you on that team.
I was thinking about this the other day. You know how, like, it is connected in some way, so a bit of a tangent. On Instagram...
Mm-hmm.
Dancers love to zoom in on themselves now and cut other people out of...
It's your pet hate, isn't it?
It is my pet hate. No, it's not a pet hate.
It triggers you.
It triggers you. What the attached thought process is, to me, that doesn't show team player.
Because
you're kind of isolating yourself and you're cutting out the rest of the dancers. Like, let's say you're in a group of five and you zoom and you're cutting off like three people, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was an employer... And I'm obviously using this from like someone who employs non-dancers. That to me suggests that you're not a team player.
Yeah. So lots of different thought processes come to mind. So say you in this video with three beasts who roast you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to post a video with you being roasted.
Isn't it better just to not post a video?
Yes, but then that's all some people have marked. That's how people market themselves now. And that's what Instagram is. People have the need to post, right? So if everyone around you is roasting you, you don't want to post that. You don't want to post, I'm the weak one. I'm the worst of the group.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to post that. But also, if you're roasting everyone or someone next to you fucks up, you don't want to throw them under the bus.
Yeah.
It makes your video look whack and you don't want to throw them under the bus. So maybe you cut them out for that. Do you know what I mean? I'm just trying to think of reasons, positive reasons why to cut it out and why it makes sense. If there's four of you and you're all working as a group and you're doing really, really well, why cut it?
Why cut it?
Like, you're showing that you can be clean and blend in with people.
That's
because that's your job.
That's kind of like an extended thought process of mine is like, you want to me, again, very third party, uneducated opinion, you're showing that you can work as a bigger picture.
Yeah, but also don't forget, most of the time, if you watch the people that cut their videos where they single themselves out, they're either on the ends of the dance group or in the back line.
Mm.
You'll never find someone in the front line in the middle cutting out.
Well, I've seen a couple.
Not many though.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying though. Yeah, yeah.
Like, most of the time it's like, I'm at the back right. I'm not really the focus of this video. How do I make myself the focus of this video?
I guess we could go into like a whole conversation surrounding this.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot more thought process to that. So we'll go back to what we were talking about.
Just don't cut your videos.
Just don't do it.
It's quite simple.
Anyway, rewinding back to what you're saying, it's like the energy in the room.
Your energy in the room. So I think show you're a team player. Show that you're helpful. Show that you're kind. Again, I have other tactics and skills I use which don't necessarily show that. But that's normally when we get nearer the very end, when it's like we're all in this job together.
It's getting a bit cutthroat.
Yeah, when it's that cutthroat moment where it's me or you that's paying their rent, like then I'm the helping part is done. The learning phase is done. Now we're battling it out. You know what I mean? And that's how I see it.
If you are on the cutthroat moments, are you still cheering, supporting?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I still want them to do the best they can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to fucking roast them.
Gotcha.
And then it comes down to me, like, I don't want to say, like, I use mind games, but, like, I'm quite happy to. Mm-hmm. If it means I'm paying my rent over you, like I said to you before, like if they go in a boys audition, right, boys, tops off, and all the boys start doing push-ups, I purposely don't do push-ups. I just stand there and I make stupid sarcastic comments going, boys, if you didn't have it before, you're not gonna have it now.
No, 20 like, push-ups before
20, 20 push-ups ain't gonna change nothing. Should have thought about this a month ago. Like, just or so their brains go, oh, like, why isn't he doing it? And that might knock their confidence level and build mine. Gotcha. And I'm not doing it to be a dickhead. I'm just doing it to go, I need the upper edge because I won this job.
Yeah.
And if they're hiring 2 out of 20 of us, I want to be in that too.
Didn't, who was it? Arnold, I always butcher his last name, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He used to do it for bodybuilding.
Yeah.
He used to like go, small lads, bro. Yeah. Something like that, you know, just to kind of.
And I'll never, and I've told you this before, and I was like, I shouldn't bring it up. But like my friend, Jamie McKenzie, but before, when we were younger, we used to take off our tops and like pose in the mirror and stuff, or like we'd be in the gym. He used to grab my love handle.
Right.
And he'd be like, oh, what's that? And he used to make me feel so self-conscious.
Right.
So self-conscious. So I have done that to people before where I go, but only to like someone I know. Like I would never just go to a random stranger and pinch the love handle. But if I'm thinking like, you're my friend, you're about to roast me, as much as I want you to roast me, I'd be like, ooh, hello. Like, and play with you. And not in a spiteful way, even though I know it is spiteful.
Yeah.
Like, it's in a playing way. And if you did it back to me, I'd be like, motherfucker. But do you know what? Fair play. Credit where it's due. It's just like Michael Jordan, when he's playing basketball, like, he can be friends with people on the opposite team, but in that game, they're not friends.
No.
Like, he's shit-talking you. He's, like, he's trying to out-game you. He's trying to out-psych you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, it's the same thing.
And the moment the game's over, you'll shake hands again, sort of thing.
And yeah. I want you to be a winner. And if you get the job over me, then you damn well deserve that job.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the job.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I don't recommend doing that to people, but it definitely has helped me.
Do you think there's actually had much of a successful... Like, has that helped your success rate, do you think?
No, nah, probably not.
Right. But it's like a little bit of a mental edge for you.
Yeah. Mental edge. An inch is an
inch. That's like the last 2%, though, right?
Inch is an inch.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a game of inches. It's like, you could get that, if you get that tiny bit better than someone, that could determine you got the job. Gotcha. If you look that little bit more confident than someone, that could be you get the job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
Sure.
But my one that I always do is like, if people start doing push-ups and sit-ups, I purposely don't do that.
Yeah.
I purposely just stand in between them all.
But again, it goes like what we were saying last podcast. If you haven't listened, go listen. You've done the preparation already.
Exactly. You know, which should have come under prep. I don't need to panic about that on the day because I know that I'm going to look good.
You've looked after your body and you've done the physical work beforehand.
I didn't need to do 20 push-ups before it because I probably went to the gym that morning. Like, before we get there. Or I've probably been going to the gym consistently for 3 years or whatever. What else have we got? Energy in the room. Be a smart dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Be a smart dancer.
You talk about this a lot.
Being a smart dancer will be more beneficial to you than being a great dancer. Being good at steps and being good at execution is great. But if you're dumb and you can't take simple instruction, doesn't matter. So I can recall a few times when people have been dumb dancers in auditions and it's affected their audition.
Go on, in regards that a little to bit.
So say they say, right, we're gonna have you in groups of five, gonna bring you around five, so I want 3 in the back row, 2 in the front,
and they go stand and, four and in then the back,
they
the
say we do this, and they say, if you call you out first, you're here, second here. If you've not paid attention and been a smart dancer and you stand in the wrong place, you're already showing them that you can't take simple instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can't trust you to stand in a position of 5 places after they've explained it to you, how on earth are they going to trust you to do it on stage?
On stage.
In a high stress scenario.
Yeah.
Or if numbers get changed.
Yep.
They're not, right?
No.
Like, you're going to annoy them. Like, I remember being in an audition and a dancer stood in the wrong place and it really annoyed Brian Freeman and he called him out on it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you just don't. You've got to be switched on because it's showing, like, that you can just pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, being a smart dancer, just with sometimes the smaller things are the things that pay off. Another time being a smart dancer is listening to instruction, listening to what they're asking for. So we auditioned for a film, which never actually went ahead, which sucked. But for Chris Minot, he was like the agent and part of the casting team with a bunch of other people. And they were like, for the part that we were auditioning for, we had to be buskers. Right. So we had to do choreography and then freestyle. And they kept making a point of like, remember, you're busking.
Right.
So as soon as it finished, everyone would start like doing all their best tricks and stuff like that. So me trying to be a smart dancer, instead of just starting dancing straight away, I walked over, I put my hat on the table and I went, be generous, or something like a silly little comment. Yeah, yeah. And then did my busking.
Yeah, because it showed that you're acting into the role.
I'm being a role.
Yeah.
I'm trying to busk. I'm trying to show you I'm a busker. I'm not just going to freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You kept making a point of how you wanted it to be the character. Your character is busking.
They're almost dropping hints of what you should be doing.
Yeah, so listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I might have been way off.
Read between the lines, sort of thing.
I might have been way off.
Did you get feedback from that audition? As in, did you get
the job?
Yeah.
I got the job. If that's not good enough feedback, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, already shown you that I'm smart.
Yeah.
That I've paid attention. I've listened to instruction. Mm-hmm. You haven't told me to do that, but I've used my initiative because you said play up to the character.
Yeah.
It's just being a smart dancer. And see, being a smart dancer can sometimes just come to listening to instruction.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't need to be anything super magical. Just listen to instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Be a smart dancer. Because no matter how dope you are, if you're stood in the wrong place, they're not going to trust you. So, yeah, be a smart dancer is a huge one. And there's loads of ways you can be a smart dancer. But those are two in an audition, which I think really pay off quite well. And then let's probably say my final one, because I feel like we've done quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're
already an hour deep.
When you come to your freestyle. So, normally, in an audition, you'll go... front and back line, you'll do the dance once, freestyle, and then you switch, do the dance and freestyle. So what's your skill set? Let's say, for example, I can do tricks and breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around me and I go, oh, so can three other people in my group, right? Should I just do my tricks and breaking on my first one, or should I save
it up?
There's different thoughts, right? So if I'm front, bang, center, then yeah, probably do it on the first one, because mm-hmm. you're right in front of them. If you're in the back line, maybe don't do it on the first one, because if someone is in front of you, they might watch the person in front of you.
Yeah, they're going to gain the attention.
But also, my trail of thought was always, and this is what I've kind of always done, that if we do it twice, I will do something good on the first one. And on the second one, when everyone's knackered,
you do something
because
better.
Everyone's gone full out on the first one, I do something better on the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So then the second time, I'm what they're left watching.
Mm-hmm.
The end, before they line us up and say, please go, I'm the last thing they think about.
The last thing. Beginning, middle, and end. End's always the most important part, right?
Yeah. Or, but again, if you're positioning, or you know you're only going to get one good round and you're in a good position, use it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you're in an audition and they go, you only do it once and you have to freestyle at the end.
Kill it.
Kill it.
Yeah.
You just go for it. But also, use your strengths. But if there's a person next to me who's a way better breaker and b-boy than I am, but I'm probably going to be better at choreo, I'm going to put a lot of focus in making sure my choreo is dope and then roast to the highest of my ability doing mm-hmm. the breaks and breaking and tricking. Even though they're going to be better than me, I'm going to highlight that I'm better than them at the choreo part.
Choreo. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I can also try and match them on the other bit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when it comes to the freestyle, is before the dance starts, a lot of the times they play the music and it's, say you've got like 2/8, people start like freestyling and going ham. For me, I don't think you want to go ham at the beginning, because you don't want this to happen. Gauge their attention, and then when you start the choreography, you don't want the energy to drop.
Right.
You don't want it to be like, like, do you know what I mean? You don't want it to come up. And then when the choreography starts, the bit that you're trying to showcase of what's theirs, you don't want the excitement to drop down.
Gotcha.
You want it to gradually keep growing.
So you're suggesting to do freestyle, but at a lower tier than what the choreo is.
Do something, but not nothing. Like, most of the time, I'll just have a little two-step.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you that I can groove. I'm not going to be doing moves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just going to be two-step, having a little head bob, like showing you that I can relate to the music. Look confident,
yep,
whilst doing it, not looking at the floor. Like, I'm proud, and I'm hopefully gonna capture your attention just by my presence,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what I'm doing,
what you're doing,
because I'm hoping you'll look at my confidence and my stature, and I'll give off an energy that they go, oh, he looks like he's about to kill it, and then fingers crossed I kill it. Do you know what I mean?
So go on, bottom line that,
just be smart about when you're choosing to freestyle. Like, use your positioning in the room or your skill set to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's a dope video of X Factor 2010 auditions for Brian Freeman on YouTube. It's quite easy to find. Just type in X Factor UK 2010. You don't have to bring it up. It's the longest damn video in the whole world.
Gotcha.
But like, if you watch all of those rounds and then they go from choreo to freestyle, you can see the people who booked the job just by watching the video.
Right.
Like, everyone did a great job, but like, there's like Lisa Spencer does it in one and everyone's going ham or doing all, like all the girls are going nuts and she's like just chilling. Just
vibing with
just
it.
Chilling, and she's got some confidence about how she stood and like it's just, you gravitate to it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You get sucked in because you're like, oh.
Do you feel that when people are doing like the intro freestyle, people are so fixated on showing off steps rather than connecting with the music? And do you think there's a trade-off between connecting with the music versus like showing off your quote good moves?
I guess both happens. But for me, I would always say connect with the music and show that you've got presence and confidence,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to trying to show off what moves you can do, because you're going to show that at the end.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that kind of sums up audition tips in a nutshell, right?
Wrap up all five. Go.
We did way more than five.
Seven, ten.
always be prepared. Preparation before the day. Know what you're getting yourself into. Be early, not on time. Be early, don't be late. Don't cause yourself more stress. Bring spare clothes and dress appropriate for the audition. Make sure wherever you stand in the room is going to work in your advantage, depending what kind of dancer or learner you are. Think about your energy. Support people. Be a positive space. Be a positive energy in the space, not a negative energy. Don't be a vacuum in the room. Be a smart dancer. Just be smart. Listen to instruction. Take in all the information you're told and use it and apply the details and the instruction given. Freestyle in the right places, not the wrong places. And book that job.
Book that job.
And book that job. Are you playing with the damn lights again?
No, this camera's frozen.
Oh, no.
Go on, you carry on talking.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're finished with these now, so we've got to go into video of the week and booked and blessed. So,
damn it.
Damn it. Do you want to just press pause and we'll cut it back in?
Video of the week. You want to go over that one first?
Yeah, video of the week first. So,
hold up,
are we on screen already?
Bring it.
I can't see the screen today. So, my video of the week is by DC Dance Factory, and they are doing the... not very original, thriller choreography. But if you know who this man is on the screen, you will know this is why it is my video of the week. This is the incredible Nick Bass. For me, probably the greatest dancer of all time. And if you can find video of Nick Bass dancing in the past 5 years, get out of my camera. If you can find a video of Nick Bass dancing in the last 5 years, I'll be very impressed. So the fact that we've actually got footage of him not just dancing, but doing it in a costume and doing Thriller made my day. He's been a hero of mine since I was probably 19. And I think he's definitely one of the greatest dancers of all time. He's worked for everyone. He did MJ, he's done Jana. He's done Chris Brown. Literally, you name it, he has done it. I was really fortunate. I've got to work with him once with Misha for the Emmys. But he's my hero. Another reason why this is video of the week is that someone dressed up as a Jabberwocky. And I really found that funny and it made me giggle. But yeah, video of the week, man. And it's a pretty clean dance, to be fair. Everyone looks super clean. I like everyone's costumes. And... you get to watch Nick Bass dance in 2021, which is rare. And he's doing original Thriller choreo. So yeah, that's why this is my video of the week. Obviously, it's not the most exciting video in regards of production and like...
I like the lighting.
Creativity is like choreography, because, you know, it's not theirs. But it's just my video of the week because it just made me so happy to be like, oh my God, it's like rare. It's like finding a, I don't know, what's a rare animal? Like seeing it in the wild that you never get to see. Like
a lion.
Yeah, okay, a lion. Like this is like seeing a lion in the wild. Like, but seeing Nick Bass on camera, it just doesn't really happen anymore. So that's why this is my video of the week. Shout out to the GOAT, Nick Bass. And if you don't know who he is, go get and find out who he is. You're not going to find much on his Instagram, because if we go to his Instagram, Jake...
Can I find my mouse? Boom.
Then, yeah, so it's in the description, Nick Abbas.
Let me just zoom in on that.
So here, too Nick much. Abbas official. Click on it. About here. Yeah. There you go. He's following 21 people, has 709 followers, and one picture. Nice. And he's probably the greatest dancer of all time. And I bet most of you have no idea who he is. So please, please do your research. So that is why it is my video of the week. Because he's the best.
He's the best.
He's the best. Next, we have Booked and Blessed. You lost your mouse again.
I've lost my mouse. I'm losing my mind whilst I'm at it as well.
Oh, don't do that. We need that. Our Booked and Blessed of the week is the incredible Amy Mills. Go and check her out on Instagram. It's AmieMills. This combo is choreographed by her, Becky Wong, and Molly Stebbin, I believe, by the looks of it. The reason Amy is my Booked and Blessed is because I met Amy like 4 years ago, I want to say, 3-4 years ago in Sam Fleet's class. And she was, you know, she was a talented dancer. She looked very young, very new, very fresh, but very talented, lots of potential. And like, it's been really nice watching her over the past few years, like find her own space and develop as a dancer. Like the quality of her movement is really, really lovely. She performs everything really, really well. She's tiny, she's really small. But I think she dances everything nice and big. Like when you watch her dance, like you can't see that she's really short. I mean, I don't really know the girls that she's with. They might be short too, but like she projects all her movements so nice. The choreo that, like, I mean, I guess that's credit to all of them because they've all choreographed it. It's really, really nice. The musicality is nice, which unfortunately we can't hear, but go and find it on her Instagram page and you can hear then the musicality. But the choreo is dope. It's got nice different textures, nice different feels. Like lots of level changes. The second section has loads of different grooves. So you have a nice little texture there. They have their own moment. And then they go into nice little groove sections. And they're simple grooves, but they just look lovely. And they make sense. Yeah, she does a nice little loose legs. There you go. Yeah, so Amy Mills is definitely my Booked and Blessed of the week because I just feel like she's developed so much as a dancer over the past like 4 years. And I think she's going to have a really, really good future. Whatever she decides to do, whether it be performing or teaching or everything. I just rate her. I think she's dope.
Nice.
She's improved a lot. Shout out Amy Mills. But yeah, and shout out to the other girls too, because they should all get credit because they've all choreographed this together. Becky Wong and... It was Becky Wong, wasn't it? If I just made that up. Yes, I was right. Becky Wong and Molly Stebbin. Look, like by Mr. Bull Change. Shout out Amy Mills. Yeah, so that's our video of the week and Booked and Blessed of the week.
Booked and Blessed. Sorted.
Booked and Blessed. You've got a lovely jumper on today.
I know. I'm repping you, bro.
Repping merch, baby.
Repping merch, baby.
I need to get some more merch, baby. Yeah, so that's us for the week. That's another one in the bag.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much, guys. So what I want to do is, at the moment, our subscribers on YouTube isn't very high. Once we get to, what we're going to say, 150 subscribers?
200.
Once we get to 200 subscribers, I am going to give away a free month pass to the Ins and Outs training program. Or if you can't make it because you might live far away, yeah, we'll do a random select. So out of the 200 subscribers, we'll find some generator which selects one person at random, or Jake will figure out how to do it.
Thanks, bud. Drop me in it.
Or we'll send you some free Ins and Outs merchandise. We'll give you a free hoodie and a t-shirt. We'll get some stuff made for you. And we'll even customize it to your size and your color preference, if you wish. So yeah, once we get to 200 subscribers, we shall give away either a free Ins and Outs training program pass. And if you live the other side of the world or you can't make it to Swindon, then we'll give you some merchandise.
Beautiful.
And shout out to if we get to 200 subscribers.
Which we will.
We will.
Hopefully. 10,000 by the end of next year.
Ooh, let's go. Putting them numbers out there. Yeah, and we're going to have some guests on soon. And we've got lots of exciting things coming up. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Support the podcast. Follow Jake at Gibson_media_. Follow me at Mr. Bull Change. And follow the podcast at the Internet's podcast on Instagram. Find us on YouTube at the Ins and Outs Podcast. And share and support with your friends and your family. One love. Peace out. Oh, kicks of the day.
Kicks of the day.
Kicks of the day. We've got the J3s. I got cramp. Oh.
I'm so making that the intro.
Oh my goodness, that hurts so bad. So I'm just gonna use their leg.
Bro, you're getting old.
We got Jordan 3, Animal Instinct.
A little bit higher. Can you go a little bit higher?
We got Jordan 3, Animal Instincts, Kicks of the Day, Hell to the Yeah. Peace out, one love. I need a massage. And we're cut.